Remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 8. I appreciate that song, A Land Where We'll Never Grow Old. Brother Ricky requested that song for Miss Kelly's birthday. Amen. And Amen. I'm just picking. Amen. We used to sing that and still do sometimes sing that in the nursing home. But when I was a boy, every time we'd go to the nursing home, seemed like we'd sing that. And, you know, you'd think about, well, them's old folks in there. That matter of fact, that's what we called it. I grew up, they called it old folks home. Right? Old folks home, what they called it. And, you'd think, well, why would you sing about never growing old? Well, when you know about the aches and pains of age, you're looking forward to a place where you won't have any of that. Amen. We'll live forever. And I mean, you know, what's 1,000 years to eternity? Right. It's not getting old. That's what it's talking about in that. So I love that song. I'm glad there is a land. Amen. There's a better place waiting for the children of God. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 8. And I'm going to read one verse this morning and jump off from that verse and give you a thought that's on my heart. And I don't think I'll be long this morning, but it's just a thought that God gave me earlier in the week. And I feel like it'd be right for us to share that with you this morning. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5. This is all we're going to read in our standing. Then I'll have you turn back to Exodus 25 after we have prayer. And we'll look at a verse there. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5. Let's read it together. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Now, I think you understand the context of that verse. God's telling Moses how to build the tabernacle. And he says this phrase, see that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. I want to preach on that phrase, the pattern showed thee in the mount. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless the reading of his word. Brother Josh Hunt, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Josh, for that prayer. Exodus chapter 25. We'll hold your place in Hebrews 8. That's where our text is going to be. But that phrase he's quoting from Exodus 25 in the text here. So look with me there, if you will, back in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter number 25 and verse number 40 is the verse. Now, before I read verse 40, I want you to look over Exodus 25. Just sort of glance over it with me. And you'll notice that God is giving Moses the instruction to give to the children of Israel about how to prepare for the tabernacle. He tells them about all the gold and the silver and the blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, all those things that he tells about. He even tells them what color to make some of those. Talks about the oil. He talks about the stones. And he goes down through there talking about the instruments that would be in that tabernacle. He talks about the Ark of the Covenant in verse number 10. And he goes down through there describing that very explicitly. He talks about the table where the showbread would be in verse number 23. And he goes on down dealing with all the different things there. In verse number 31, he starts talking about the candlestick, and he describes it very intricately, how he describes all these things, not just the size of it, but exactly how that is made, the knops and the flowers and the branches and all that he has talked about there. Now, jump down to verse 40, and here's the phrase that is tied with Hebrews 8:5. He said, and look, this is God speaking, and look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. So you see that phrase again. I'm preaching about the pattern showed thee in the mount. All right. And so looking at that and dealing with that. And by the way, some people, they read that. The word showed there is S-H-E-W. And they read that shewed. I understand that. Why? Because I knew some people back in Wilkes County. Their last name was Shew, S-H-E-W. Matter of fact, the sheriff of Wilkes County right now is Chris Shew. And we had a missionary here from Wilkes County that was, last name was Shue. Craig Shue came here from Rock of Ages. But I pronounce it show because he's, that's the word. It's just the English spelling of the word. Now we spell S-H-O-W. They spelled it S-H-O-W or S-H-E-W. And you say, well, it looks like it ought to be Shue. Well, the word sow, S-E-W, is not Sue. Right. It's not her, that's right. It's not Sue, it's so. Right. And so I think it's right to pronounce that way. But when you have people come in and somebody pronounces it Shue, I don't fall out with them for pronouncing it that way. I understand why they do. I'm just saying that I believe this is the correct way. All right, that's not my message. I'm preaching about the pattern that showed thee in the mount. So I'm going to deal not with the verses that surround this particularly, but a little bit. I've already said a little bit about that, but I'll say more about it as we go along. Hebrews chapter number 8 particularly, and we know from studying the Hebrews in our Sunday night services that Paul is describing the high priesthood work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's comparing that to what Moses did and Aaron and the first instigation of the tabernacle and the worship system that was involved in that tabernacle system. Then there in Exodus, the text that original statement came from is talking about the tabernacle, how it's set up, the furniture, the apparel, the priesthood under the law. All those things are described very, very succinctly and distinctly. And so in both of these cases, emphasis is placed on Moses being careful. God wants Moses to be careful to follow the pattern that God had showed him in the mount, on Mount Sinai, right? That's the phrase that I want to lift from these verses. And I want to emphasize that God, first of all, God wants us to be alone with him on the mountain so he can show us some things. And then God wants us to pattern our life after what he has showed us on the mountain. That's really, that's the message in a nutshell, to be honest with you. God wants us to be alone with him. Brother Wells preached during the Bible conference about prayer. That is fresh on our mind and should be, by the way. Amen. But by the way, I've been alone with God on the mountain, sitting in the congregation of people. Right? Brother Jacob preached on Sunday night recently about how that being alone with God don't necessarily mean in the closet, doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a literal closet. And this is the idea I'm talking about, that God wants us in our heart, our mind, our life, us to be alone with him on the mountain, that he can show us things that we can pattern our life after, those things that he's shown us. All right, so dealing with that, I've got three main points real quickly. Number one, I want to notice the pattern of achievement. The pattern of achievement. This is the phrase, see, saith he, from verse 5. See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Can I just say this, make this statement? Everybody needs a goal. You need a reason to get up in the morning. You need something to aim for in the day. You need something to aim for in your life. Amen. We need a goal. Matter of fact, the difference of being successful and not being successful in life mainly lies in what you define success as. We, in the Bible conference, we use that Joshua 1:8. The only time the word success is found in the King James Bible. Much was said about that. God wants us to be successful, but we gotta rightly define what the word success is. But let me just say this. If success means building a house, for example, if that's what your goal is to build a house, then the man that aims, the man that plans, the man that works, the man that builds succeeds. But the man who only plans and never works, or the man that works without a plan, doesn't succeed. Right. So are you following me with that? We got to have a goal, but the goal is not the end all be all. There's got to be some labor involved. God chose us to go, and then he wants us to put some work into it. right? And you do that. You do that with your child. For example, we got Elijah there, and they're trying to encourage him to crawl. He's just scooting along and doing all right, scooting like that. But he can move a lot faster and wouldn't wear out the seat of his britches as quick if he'd get on his knees. Right. And so what they're trying to do is they teach them to crawl. What you do with a child when they're learning to crawl or when they're learning to walk is you give them something to aim at, and then you encourage them. Come on, come on. But you expect them to put forth some effort. You may take them by the hand, but you don't want to always be holding them by the hand. You want them to be able to do it on their own somewhere along the line. That's the idea that I've got here. So success, and I'm going to go over that phrase again, what I said about building a house, because I think it's important. If success means building a house, then the man who aims at it plans, works, builds, and succeeds. But the man who only plans and never works, or works without a plan, usually fails. In other words, we need to have a goal and then aim at it. Amen. A big goal, and then there's little things that we got to work on day by day, more or less, as we try to reach our goal. Here's an idea about, I thought about mountain climbing. If you have a mountain to climb, what do? You don't just look at the base of the mountain. You look up at the top of the mountain. That's your goal. That's your goal. You look up towards the peak. You set your aim. And then you assess the distance and the difficulty and the danger of reaching that goal. You assess all those things. But you'll never reach the top until you've managed to climb higher and higher day by day. You have a goal, but there's effort. Amen. You have an aim, but there's work to be done in reaching that goal. Now, using that analogy of mountain climbing, there are multitudes of people that live within sight of a great mountain, yet they go about their daily activities never climbing the mountain or even aspiring to do so. There's a mountain right in their midst. It's always interesting to me. People live in the mountains go to the coast for vacation. People live at the coast go to the mountains for vacation. Yeah. Sort of strange to me, to be honest with you. I do understand that. Get away from everybody else that bothers you so that you can have some rest, whatever that is. But seriously, here's the thought. You've got this mountain, and I want you to see the picture. This mountain and all these people that live within sight of that, but it doesn't even enter into their mind. They don't dream or aspire to climb the mountain. They're just going about their daily activity, and most of those people will never climb that mountain because they never get a vision to do so. Amen. They never attempt to climb the mountain because they've never made it their aim. They live their life at the base and stay there. Then there's others that every day of their mountain, that mountain peak is in their dreams. Amen. They work out a plan in order to conquer the mountain. What they eat is determined by their desire to climb that mountain. How they exercise is determined by their plan to climb that mountain. In other words, they adjust everything about their life because of their dream. They even regulate who they fellowship with based on the fact that they want to get to higher ground. They're mountain climbers. Are you following me? There is a dream, there is a goal that they have gotten from above or from within, whatever that case is. By the way, I'm not trying to encourage you to be a mountain climber, but I'm trying to see that we need to get an aim. We need to have a dream. We need to have a goal that changes our life. Amen. Looks to me like our text and many others in the Bible prove that God wants us to open our eyes and to see some goal, and then set our heart towards that goal, attempting to reach it. Here's a quote from Alexander McLaren. He was a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon. He was a Baptist preacher, lived in the days of Spurgeon. He wrote this in his Expositions of Holy Scripture, volume 16. It was released in 1908. This quote, "To aim at the unreached is the secret of perpetual youth." Are you following that? That is a good statement. I've got more. I'm going to read more. To aim at the unreached is the secret of perpetual youth. When you quit dreaming, you'll die. I'm not talking about dreaming at night. You understand what I'm talking about. When you quit having a goal, when there's nothing to live for, then you'll quit living. Let me finish reading it. To aim at the unreached is the secret of perpetual youth. No man is old as long as he aspires. It is the secret of perpetual growth. No man stagnates till he has ceased to see or to believe in great dim possibilities for character as yet unrealized. It is the secret of perpetual blessedness. No man can be desolate who has for his companion the unreached self that he may become. That sounds like a modern day psychologist, doesn't it? Alexander McLaren, a Baptist preacher, said that in 1908 in his church in London. Here's what he's saying. You need to have a goal. You need to have a dream. You need to have something that you're aiming at. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Now, and that's, I believe, what our text is dealing with here. Before I move to my next part of my sermon, let me mention that the goal or the aim that I'm talking about is not just something from our own thoughts or our own imaginations. A painter or an artist, a writer, or even a musician may produce something that they just dreamed up. Right. That just in their mind, in their imagination. And that is good. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an aspiration that comes from God. I'm talking about a dream, a goal, a plan that comes from heaven. Amen. Something that God has shown us in the mount. That's what he's talking about in our text here. Amen. Sometime when we've been alone with God in the presence of God, that God shows us. When we've been around his holiness. Amen. I'm thinking about Isaiah 6 when Uzziah died and Isaiah saw God high and lived up. In the presence of the holiness of God, Isaiah got a vision. Isaiah got a dream. Isaiah got a goal. Isaiah got a cause. Amen. Amen. So now that leads me to my second point. I talked about the pattern of achievement. Now I want to talk about the platform of application. It's a universal platform. It's a universal application. Here's what he says. In that, I want to zero in on these words, verse 5, if you're looking at it, down at the bottom, saith he that thou make, and here's all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. All things are to come under the authority of that pattern. Amen. Moses was commanded not to stray from the pattern that God had shown him on the mountain. Amen. Moses was not to take liberties. He was to follow the pattern in all things. Amen. We like to take liberties. We all do. We like to take liberties. I mean, the doctor says, for example, the doctor tells you what to do and you won't, okay, I'm going to follow the doctor's orders, but I'm going to tweak it a little bit. Yep. My dad told somebody the other day, they was having pizza at their church, and my dad asked the fellow, if he just cut the pizza right in half. He said, the doctor told me not to eat but one piece. One slice. Well, we like to tweak things. Oh, I'm on a diet, but I'm not doing exactly like the diet says. Then you're not really on the diet. I'm following the prescription. I'm just doing it my way. We love to do it that way, don't we? I've got a plan. I'm following the plan, except I am adapting it for myself. The truth is, if we don't follow it strictly, then we're not strictly following the plan. Amen. And I'm as guilty as you are. We're on a diet, but I like to have cheat days about every day or two. Amen. But Moses was commanded not to stray from the pattern. One thing that I find interesting is that God not only showed Moses the pattern for the overall building of the tabernacle, but God got so intricate that he described the bowls and even the spoons that would be used in the tabernacle. He described the altars how big they were. He described the tables. He even described the threads of the covering. The threads in the clothing of the high priest. Amen. God described the fringes and the bells and all that was be on the high priest's robe. By the way, you read Exodus 25 there, but you can read in the book of Leviticus, he goes into even more detail describing all those things down to the minutest pieces, the smallest pieces of what was used in the tabernacle in their worship service on a daily basis. Amen. Here's what I believe. I believe this shows us the detail and the extent to what God wants us to surrender our life to Him. Not just 1 hour on Sunday morning. Not just one day of the week. You remember me, I've used the illustration a lot of times. I heard Brother Sammy say it numbers of times. Brother Allen would say, he said he was sitting somewhere and a man was preaching and a man said, God does not just want the front room of your house. God wants the best room in your house. And Brother Sammy said, he said to himself, amen. And he said, the Holy Ghost said, nope. God wants the key to the whole house. He don't just want a room or two. He don't just want the best room. He wants every room of our house. He said we're supposed to worship Him with most of our heart. Is that what He said? The majority of your heart? Some of your heart? What did He say? All of your heart. Amen. He said we're to worship Him with all of our heart. So He shows us these details to show us the extent to which we must surrender our lives. We must surrender our wills to Him if we're going to get to the point that the goal can be reached that He has for our life. Amen. This is true universally. Universally. For example, it doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what family you're born into. Doesn't matter what your economic status is. Amen. Doesn't matter the age you're living in. Amen. Every one of us must surrender our will, our mind to God. We must allow Him to fill us. That's what He wants. All of us to be surrendered to Him. That He might fill us. That He might wash us from our sins. That He might cleanse our minds. And that we can be faithful in His service. Amen. Amen. Every one of us must keep ourselves from temptations. Right? You don't go to places that you know is shady places. Right? Miss Ruth mentioned Wednesday night in the prayer meeting about the speakeasy in Nortonville. I didn't know she'd been going there, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I saw that in the on the front page of the paper that we got one in the mail sometime back, and that's on there, and I hadn't read about it, so I read it the other day. And, well, they make that thing sound so nice. They even have they've got pictures of people, and none of them look like hoodlums. They don't look like dopeheads. One of them's a nurse in a nurse's outfit. And they talk about, you know, it's all medical and they're going to have IDs and they're going to have prescriptions and they're going to, and all, but then he goes on to the owner talking about how it's going to increase the tourist traffic in the area. How's he going to do that? They're bringing in outsiders, is what he's talking about. Yeah. Not necessarily people with a doctor's note. Just somebody passing by. Says, oh, they got a speakeasy in Nortonville. We're going to stop by there. By the way, this is not an advertisement for them. This is saying, stay away from such places. Amen. What they're trying to do, they paint a picture that looks pretty on the outside. I mean, when they was there cutting the ribbon, the whole thing, it looked really nice. By the way, the word speakeasy comes from the idea of being deceptive, doing something illegal. The whole idea comes back from the 20s when they had prohibition and they had those speakeasies. They'd sell liquor and it was against the law. These people are proudly proclaiming we're doing something legal. No, they're not. You mark her down. Crooks are crooks. Dope heads are dopes. All right. What are you saying? I'm saying you don't go to those places. You stay away from them. You don't say, well, I'll just check it out and see if it is really on the up and up, see how nice it is. No, you stay away from places that might trick you, that might tempt you, that might trip you up. Amen. That's just one. I can think of a million. So I'm just saying, be careful. We got to be careful about our life, our whole life, every day of our life, our thought life, our dreams and desire, everything about us. We got to surrender it to God if we're going to reach the goal that He wants us to have. Amen. We got to live for Jesus. Here's what I think He wants us to do. What is the plan of God? What is the will of God for you and me, for us to live for Jesus? Brother Matt taught it there in Sunday school this morning. He's teaching on Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. But he got down there in John chapter 20. And where Jesus is telling Peter what He wants him to do. And Peter says, but what about John? Jesus was real nice in the way He said it. But in our language, He would have said, mind your own business, Peter. Whatever I told John to do is what John's supposed to do. What I'm telling you is what I want you to do. What does God want us to do? Number one, He wants us to live for Jesus. Number two, He wants us to be a benefit to somebody else. He didn't put us in this world to be selfish. Amen. We're living in a world of selfishness. A world of selfishness. It seems like on every hand, everywhere you look, there's selfishness here, selfishness there, selfishness everywhere. Oh yeah. That's the world we're living in. Jesus doesn't want us to live only for ourselves. He wants us to be beneficial to others. There are no exceptions. Let me just say that. No exceptions to that. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 14, verses 26 and 27. If any man, come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know what he's saying there? There's no exceptions. You can't love somebody else more than you love God. You can't even love yourself more than you love Him. So here's what we got to do. We got to be careful that we don't allow the flesh or the devil to tempt us to just tweak it a little bit. To just let some quote unquote little thing come in. God was interested in the intricate detail of the building and the management and the furniture and the clothing of those that were serving Him in that Old Testament economy. The minute detail. He's interested in ours as well. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe it goes just as far. I know we're not living under the law, but Jesus never lowered standards. He raised them. Always. He said, this is what you've read. And He said, I'm going to raise it a notch. Amen. And He's interested in how we live our life right down to the clothing we put on our back. Amen. So don't let the flesh or the devil tempt you into letting these little things slide and think they don't matter. They mattered to God. They still do. He said, be careful that you build it exactly like the pattern that I showed you on the mount. By the way, it's the little things that become habits that become the big things. Those little things that become habits that either make or break our attempt to reach the goal. Amen. Somebody's training for the Olympics, for example. They don't cheat by having a Snickers bar every few minutes. Or even once a day. Amen. Here's my last point. All right, I lost you on all that. There's the plan or the pattern of achievement. There's the platform of application. And last of all, there's the place of attainment. Here it is. He said, the pattern showed thee, and underline this phrase, in the mount. It says in the mount, not on the mount, in the mount. He's talking about the experience that took place there on Mount Sinai. Amen. Here's what we have. If we're going to hear from heaven, here's what we got to do. Number one, we got to go a little higher than we've been. A little higher. We've got to climb a little higher with God. If we're going to see the details that God has planned for our life, we've got to get a little closer to Him and go a little higher. The higher you go on the mountain, the better you can see the lay of the land. Amen. By the way, that's the difference in doing something great for God rather than being satisfied with being mediocre. That's the difference of being something great for God and just being mediocre. Amen. Sports, they give an MVP, most valuable player. That's somebody that, by the way, they all put a lot into it, but here's somebody that just went a little extra. In the military, we got honors for heroes. They're all heroes. But here's somebody that did a little more, that went a little farther. They're not satisfied with being mediocre. God wants us to do something for Him. Here's what I'm thinking about. God said, I want to read it to you again. I'll read the whole verse, Hebrews 8:5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of the heavenly things. Talk about those priests. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, not Moses, God said this. That thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Thee, who's the thee? One man saw it. How come the whole nation didn't see it? Because the nation didn't go with Moses upon the mountain. When God first descended on that mount, and the thunder rolled, and the lightning ran up along the mountain, the children of Israel said, you go up for us. We don't want to hear from God. They said, we're going to designate you. We're going to choose you. By the way, that is a Republican idea there. Somebody that is your representative to go for you. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about that's the idea. That's where the name that they got it from. The people said, we want you to be our representative. We're not going. We want you to go. But God was willing to show all of them His plan. But all of them wasn't willing to climb the mountain. One man was willing to climb the mountain. And God showed him the plan. Amen. Thank God. That's what we ought to be. Amen. Amen. They were afraid. I'm sure Moses was afraid. But Moses paid the price. Moses went up that mountain alone and spent time with God there. When Moses came back down from the mountain, his face was glowing from the effect of spending time alone with God. Spending time in the presence of God. Now Moses not only had a face glow that they didn't have, Moses had two tablets in his hands that they didn't have. How come? They didn't go up on the mountain with him. They could have seen the very finger of God writing those tablets out. But they chose not to. They chose to stay down on the lower end, stay down at the base of the mountain. And by the way, you know what happened down there? They wound up making a golden calf and going crazy down there. I'm not saying that you have to go into sin if you don't climb the mountain with God. But I'm going to say there's a good chance you will. But Moses climbed the mountain and went with God. He had the tablets. He had a vision. He had a dream. He had the experience that they didn't have. By the way, I keep saying he went along. You know, and we know, there was a young man went with him. Now, apparently he didn't go all the way. I don't know exactly how, but Joshua was Moses' servant, and Joshua went with Moses up on the mountain to some degree at least. And because Joshua's up there when they hear the noise going on when they're worshiping around the golden calf, Joshua's with Moses, and Joshua don't know what's going on down there because he's not been a part of that. He's been a part of Moses. But here's my point. Even though Joshua didn't go as high as Moses did, and Joshua didn't get to see as much as Moses did, Joshua's life was never the same from the day that he went upon the mountain to spend some time with God. Amen. So here's my point. I want to get closer to God, don't you? You may not be the highest, but I want to at least get closer to God and let it change my life for His glory and honor. Amen. I'm going to have them come with a song. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to read you two verses of scripture while they're coming with a song. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The promise is made in the New Testament. If you'll draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Jeremiah 29:13, this is Old Testament. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. One of the blessings that Brother Hall left this church, I'll say one of the blessings that Brother Hall donated to this church, was that he had a lifelong burden to see revival. He didn't want it just to be the norm. He wanted it to get better. He wanted to see some increase. He wanted us to go a little higher. Amen. He wanted us to have a vision, to have a goal, to have a dream. And a lot of people just lost it. Got satisfied down at the base of the mountain. When God said, you need to come on up here and I'll show you something. And then you can get a goal and you can pattern your life after this goal. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the study we've studied, the verses we've looked at. Father, I pray that you'd help us, that we would adapt our life to that, adapt our way of thinking to what you've shown us in the scripture, and help us, dear Lord, to pattern our life after what we see in that experience with God in that higher plane. I pray, Lord, you draw saints to your side. I pray you draw sinners that need to be saved. Lord, I pray that saints would draw up a little closer for higher ground. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.